Hey, you're Stocks from the 5 Yard Rush podcast, and you're listening to the Ballers Dynasty podcast. You're either here because you're in the league or you just got lost.
Hey, what's happening, ballers? 4 weeks have come and gone in this crazy league. And to run through this week, we have a usual duo. First up, Stormo. How's things, buddy?
All right, Pitsy. How are we?
All good, mate. All good. Work's been a bit crazy this week with a bit of rain dropped in and some crazy children. But apart from that, everything is fine.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. Keeping you on your toes and all that.
Oh, no, they're not keeping on the toes. They're just a little bit dim.
Oh, but boring on the boring side. Oh, I don't
just nothing between the ears, that's all.
I like my two children.
I know, your two children wouldn't be able to do everything that I've asked them to do. These guys would definitely not do anything. Happy days. Anyway, and back again, Statman Rob. Hey, mate.
Hello. I hope you haven't recommended them to listen to your podcast after this. you're slowly racking up the number of parties who you are offending in the last few weeks, like cheerleaders being mentioned, not having anything between the ears have been mentioned as well. So yeah, it'll end up like the Norwegians will be put off and they won't ever listen again. You'll say some one wrong thing and that'll be it. They'll be gone.
Oh God, the Norwegian cheerleaders are having an awful time today.
We have some code words. Obviously, everybody knows what a space cadet is. Although, in saying that, someone asked me what a space cadet meant because they thought it was a good thing. Because obviously, when a space cadet gets that far, they've gone through quite a lot of protocols to become a spaceman.
Yeah, you've got to be quite highly intelligent to become an actual space cadet, haven't you?
Yeah, however, the space cadets I talk about is because they're living on another planet.
Yeah, mate.
Or the newest one that we've brought up is bungalows. So we've got a retail that we're, not retail, that all the properties that we're looking for at the moment in front of us are bungalows, which because there's nothing upstairs.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we had a lot of bungalows this week.
That's a nice way of putting it. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it is, but I like it.
Code, nobody knows what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, I'm looking at a lot of bungalows this week. It works.
Nice. Sweet. So we might as well get straight to it, Pitsy. Drop a beat.
Nice. Right. Two highlights of the week this week. First of all, in fact, they're both connected to Wembley, though. So, Wembley, obviously, I went down with my thumb alarm. It was not the most epic game to watch, but also it wasn't like the worst game that we've had at Wembley. Good day out, nice to go down, watch a bit of American football, all the buzz as usual. Managed to see Stocks as well, which was really good. So that was just a nice day out. And then my other one is the Disney Plus side of things and their version of the game and all the little kind of intricacies that they put on, like when they I put on the chat today about the Slinky Dog being the first down marker. Yeah. His little back legs go backwards when there's been a penalty and stuff like that. I thought that was brilliant the way that they thought of that. I think it was very clever. I know obviously for it's not made for adults, it is made for the kids to watch and enjoy it, but I quite enjoyed it too.
That's a deal for you though, because you'd be like, I need to get my kids involved. I need to interact with my kids. What can I do? let's get him to watch that. And then, you know, Claire can be like, what are you never doing to spend any time with the kids? I was like, we're watching Toy Story. Toy Story football.
We're just watching a bit of Disney Plus.
Yeah, what can I do? I thought it was really clever. I do wonder if it was like a Disney executive and an NFL executive who talked about it and was like, let's combine the two things together so we can just watch football and still spend time with the kids. So I think it's a great idea.
I
obviously only put the Falcons, the London game on for the Disney, and I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I thought it was a very clever idea, but it just baffled me. I thought, I can't watch it like this. It's really throwing my football game off. Did they do it for all the games through the evening or just that first one?
No, it was just the Wembley game that they did it for. Yeah. It was their test. It was a test run.
Super clever.
I'm surprised they didn't have like a Buzz Lightyear in the first half going to the Falcons. There doesn't seem to be any intelligent life anywhere.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like in the first half of the game. Pitsy, who made the sandwiches for the way down?
I made my own sandwiches this time.
Oh, you didn't have to take like a shared picnic lunch for the car?
No, they made their own picnic.
Oh, nice.
Didn't even ask me if I wanted anything. My mum didn't even make me a sandwich. Bit rude, really, didn't it?
That was rude.
Yeah, very rude. We played the Jersey game, and we managed to our first stop at the services, and we managed to knock off 22 jerseys.
Wow, that's good.
Just in the car park, like it was nuts. Like there was everyone and everything, so. Yeah, that was quite cool.
Who did tell Dan... us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go on. I think you're going to ask.
No, you carry on.
I say, like, you asked us what we thought the last jersey was, the last team you saw, and we both answered with our own teams. And I think there's a reason behind mine, but I'd like to hear which one it was.
Remind me, you tell everybody what your two jersey choices were, and then I'll tell you the answer.
I said the Panthers.
Okay. And I said the Chargers.
And what were your reasons for it?
My reasons behind it were that the Panthers are one of the expansion teams, so they wouldn't have had many fans, and any fans in this country would have been established already. So there aren't as many Panthers fans. And we only had a game. We were one of the last teams in the UK to get a game in London. I think there was only us and the Packers left or something like that. So again, less exposure on that side of things. So again, that's the reason. And you know, the Packers are a big team anyway. Well, they were a big team. So I was just thinking that's why I was chosen the Panthers.
I like it. And then why were the Chargers?
And my reason being is that obviously Chargers don't have any fans, or we're known not to have any fans. So that was one of the reasons. But the main reason Chargers after Rob said Panthers was because I was like, why else would you ask us that question if it didn't relate to us?
Ooh,
otherwise, it's a big get. So, yeah, that's why after Rob went with his team, I went with mine.
All right, fair. You see, so we played the game ourselves because we got to that point where we were up to 22 and like, right, what's going to be the one that's going to be the last? So the four of us in the car all put our names forward first, and my mum put her first forward Titans. Which I agreed with, but because I was not allowed to choose the Titans, I had to go with someone else, and I went with the Browns just because I don't like them. My stepdad, he went with the Cincinnati Bengals, and Andy, my brother-in-law, he went for... Who did he go for?
Hopefully it wasn't a winner.
No, obviously.
No. I can't remember who it was now. Anyway, his were knocked out as well. I think so I wanted to go with the Titans. My mum ended up going with the Titans and she won. So the Titans were the last jersey that we saw. And the reason I remember the Titans was because when we went to the Titans game, we even though that it was a Titans match that we were actually going to go see, there was still not that many jerseys out and about. And I remember that from the actual game that they were there. So I thought, well, if there's only a couple here at the actual game itself, then there mustn't be that many.
Yeah.
And it was literally about when we got to the when we got to Wembley and got to the, you know, they have that, well, we met Stocks last time by the Jags kind of hub. It was only there that we saw the Titans jersey right before we went into the stadium.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
Cool.
That was a long highlight. So cool. Anyway, good. Rob, have you got something?
Yeah. Two highlights. One general one is that how exciting some of the game scripts were, like some games falling behind a long way and then coming back. And then so like Washington going ahead and then Eagles getting ahead and then getting to overtime. And then the Rams getting so far ahead and the Colts steaming back. And then, you know, the chalky favorites ended up winning the games anyway. But, you know, how close some of the games were was quite exciting. And then... And speaking of the Titans, the play, the red zone play that the Titans put together where they lined up Henry in directly behind, they moved Tannehill out wide. The Bengals called a timeout and then the Titans ran the same play after the timeout anyway. It was like, we don't care. We don't care that you wanted to change. And then they scored from it anyway. You know, Josh Wild got the touchdown. It was nice. So like a bit of razzle-dazzle, as they put it.
Yes. Yeah, I missed obviously quite a bit of it with it being driving back in the car, and we were listening to the Bradford Bulls game on the radio, and so I didn't quite have full attention on red zone, unfortunately. But it all seemed pretty good.
It was good. There was those games, particularly that Rob was talking about, were very interesting. Because even the Vikings were down a bit to the Panthers, and I was like, they're going to get stuffed here, and then came back and made the games quite exciting in that first window. Good highlights, Rob. Good highlights.
Pick six is getting quite big, aren't they? Like, they're becoming increasingly common.
Yeah, loads of them. Especially this weekend as well, in its own. Mm. Loads of them. Happy days.
So. I've got kind of two highlights as well. One being Khalil Mack. Getting six sacks, I think, is a phenomenal effort, considering I think he's been bang average since we signed him, to be fair. And it's only the week that Bose is not playing that they obviously got after O'Donnell, which was great to see. And he just couldn't escape Mack on the day. I've never seen him play like that in my life. It was absolutely phenomenal. So that was great. And the Chargers somehow almost charging, but not. it was close. I thought, oh god, here we go. That was good to see. And then
back to 2-2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then my other highlight was Patrick Mahomes. 10 yards needed to ice the game. Slides 2 meters away from the line. Sports bookies and sports books around the world have gone nuts because the Chiefs don't cover the spread. Like, I've seen some videos of people taking them homes and the amount of names that Mahomes is being called, and like Chiefs fans and stuff, just because the Chiefs didn't cover the spread, although they won. So he did the right thing, unlike Gurley did those years ago where he tried to do the right thing and rolled over in.
Fell over there, yeah. fell over his own shoes and into the end zone.
Yeah, and although I had Mahomes and could have used the touchdown, it was just funny seeing how everyone was going nuts because... Mahomes just cost him all that money, so I quite enjoyed that.
Nice. Sweet. Some good highlights there. Good highlights. All right, then, let's get to it. Week 4, how did it all go down?
Ooh, headline game. So to kick off the week 4 reviews, we've got Pitsy's Strong Side Cornbread, who had won the first 3 games of the season, going up against Susie and her Pfizer Chiefs, who'd only won the 1 game so far. So we pretty much know how this game is going to go. This being the Ballers League, this game had already finished by Sunday. So was Pitsy's winning streak. Surprise, surprise. A poor showing from the league leader only made it to 232 points as Susie passed the 300 mark for 307 points to take the win and move up to 5th on 2-2 as Pitsy drops down to 3rd on 3-1.
I don't really know what happened. It just didn't work out. No one was really playing for me. I made a bold choice. bold choice taking Lamar out and putting Fields in.
That turned out all right.
That paid off. Yeah. Like Allen getting 73 points. I mean, Fields got more than that and than Lamar, so that kind of did pay off. But the rest of my team just no shows all the way through.
Your running back, I mean, your wide receiver crew let you down massively compared to the week before, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you put in Miles Sanders and you put in Deebo Samuel, both of which were questionable before the game and they hadn't practiced all week. So you have to make a choice. And sometimes those are the players you want to put in. Deebo did really well when Ayuk wasn't there, but he had a knee injury. No, he was coming off a knee injury this week, so he didn't know the reps. They weren't going to put him in for a full workload, so I thought it was quite risky anyway. It just so happens that he was playing opposite Jordan Anderson, who also didn't get any action as well. Got a bagel against the Panthers.
Absolute bagel, yeah. Didn't he? And I'd just like to make it known that I said start Ford over Hall, and yes, I was right because he had 3 points more. So although it wouldn't have won you anymore for the game, my decision was correct.
Yeah, and Javonte Williams went out as well earlier on in this game as well. So that was also a big loss because he's a bell cow back pretty much. Yeah. Like now he had a hold of the backfield. He's got the passing. He's got the running. He's got the receiving, and then gets that hip injury and goes out of the game. So that's a big loss there as well.
Yeah, I think he shouldn't be out too long though, should he? From what I hear,
no.
Possibly not. No.
But it's been a bit of a letdown, to be fair. I don't think it's him particularly, but I think the Doxa's team have been a bit of a letdown, and I think he's suffering because of it.
I'll tell you who's winning here though. Susie putting in Puka Nacua for 45 points. Just checked. Got him for free. I think she got him for free after the draft had been done.
After the draft, yeah.
Yeah. So to get
turning into a right receiver while what's his cups off, isn't he?
Mm. And while Buffalo are running hot, Susie's gonna be a force to be reckoned with that cup Allen Diggs stack. That's gonna be tough to beat. That's going to be 100 points each week if it keeps going like this.
Did you see that Diggs touchdown where he like had two men on the ball and they both like try to tackle him and he wiggled free and ended up running down the line? I was like, come on, man. Massive run. It was so good. 40, yeah, it was like 40 plus yards. And like all in, he was like, there's no way he's getting out of that. Oh, yeah, shook him off. Oh, yeah, he's busted off two tacklers and he's going to run for 40 yards and score a touchdown.
There's other players there who are not trying that hard. They're going down after the first tackle.
Yeah.
Diggs is just playing with the fire in his belly at the moment. Like you've seen the picture of him standing watching. You know, he's missed out. He wants a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I think your defense let you down, didn't they?
Oh, Steelers just didn't do anything. Yeah, I mean, the offense can't even bloody stay on the field. So doesn't matter what they do to try and stop anyone. They've just been on the field too long.
Well, Tomlin has said that they're not going to make any coordinator changes at this current juncture. So that could be more strain on them. On the defense, if they're just getting tired all the time.
He says they're not going to make any coordinator. However, last week they promoted Canada to a different role. So whether they then turn around and say, "Well, we haven't changed anything. It's just Canada's not going to run any of the plays." So we'll see. We need Canada to fucking get out of there because he's the stats since Canada turned up and his offense are disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And whether it's picking it or not, I don't know. But we're just such an easy offense to read. And yeah, you can fucking do one. I think the only highlight, I think, for my team, apart from the fact that I put in the correct quarterback, was Alvin Kamara coming back off his suspension and getting a nice 45 points.
Yeah, beast, mate.
Well, he was a former Susie. So, yeah, I mean, you got Kamara from Susie, 2024 first round, 2023 third round picks at the end.
It was the end of last season to try and get, to try and get me a championship, but it didn't work out. But I was thinking I was going to miss him for at least half the season, maybe even the full season. The fact that I've only missed three games and he's come back,
and everyone else in
looking good as well.
Yeah, and everyone else in his running room is injured, so he's got no competition. Like, you know, they held their own while he was gone, but he's just pretty much got the full workload, didn't he?
Yeah,
and then what they're saying, like, if you look at his stats, he only got 88 yards combined.
Yeah,
he got 13 or 14 receptions and 11 carries. So those 13 catches he got boosted him well, nice.
Mm. Nice 26 points for those 13. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. If Carr's injured, he's not going to throw it far, and that's why players like Olave and Shahid suffered in this game.
A bit gutted that I've lost my. But I said, I think I even said it on the preview pod. I know you guys say I'm a negative Nancy and all that jazz, but I just had a feeling about this game that it just didn't look like a game that I was going to get a win from.
Yeah, Susie was 51% to win, so she did. She was predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you've got Leonard Fournette on a bye week. Permanent bye week at the moment with 0 points.
I am tanking, you see.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, God, Thacker soon as well. He's going on. I'm not near the end of that.
Good. All right, move on to the second game.
Yeah, second game was a close one between the Finn Supers and Rolling with Mahomes. Mark had all his players finished before Monday and was already trailing 252 to 276 down to the ladder tight end to play. The final score was 285. To 252 in favor of Dan, taking him to fourth on 3-1. Mark stays rock bottom on 1-3.
So that's 9 points from Darren Waller.
It was a strange one, was this one. Like, Mark had some strong scores and then it just all tailed off, didn't it, towards the back end in his flex positions and kickers and defense. Kind of that's where he kind of lost his game, really.
Yeah, and then the Niners again, it's just a decision of two defenses again. You know, Cowboys get nearly 40 points more than the 49ers.
That got him a win.
Yeah, that would have been the difference. That would have been the difference. I know how that feels, but yeah. Tough decisions there.
I've always said from the start, have one good defense, have a shit one, because then you don't have to make that decision.
I can't get mad at the Steelers. Like, that's the only my choice, and that's what they got this week.
Try and get rid of the Niners in a trade or something, Mark, and make yourself feel better, because you seem to always pick the other one, don't you? Which is, I think, it's even worse than, you know, just having that one pick and like, okay, I didn't really have a choice, that's all I had.
Yeah. And looking at his bench, there wasn't really anything else apart from the 49ers, just the Dallas. Well. I suppose, yeah, Cole Kmet, 41 points on his
bench. Cole Kmet might have won in the game.
Would you have put Cole Kmet in instead?
Over Dalton Kincaid.
The way that the Bears have been
Cole
playing.
Cole Kmet is one of their primary targets for Fields, and he was last year as well. Whereas Dalton Kincaid's a new guy, it's Dawson Knox is a big contender there. I think this
was there, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Dawson Knox's touches and snap counts have been going down in the past few weeks, and Kincaid's slowly been creeping up. So that could be a big difference I'm looking here. So Kincaid's has actually stayed the same, roughly 51-52% the last 2 weeks, whereas Dawson Knox has kind of evened out at the same now. In terms of targets and receptions, Kincaid's up and down, and Knox has steadily decreased from 4 and 5 targets in week 1 and 2 down to 2 and 1 in week 3 and 4. But this, it could have just been a matchup based reason that that's happened.
Yeah. I wonder if he's thinking long and hard about whether he's going to play Richardson or not at quarterback. I mean, Goff has been quite a solid player for him, but the way that Richardson seems to be playing at the moment is, he's got some tough decisions to make in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, I reckon so.
I think with Cole Kmet, if you look at him there, like, he scored 41 points, but his past 3 games combined, I don't think he scored 41 points. So it's tough, isn't it? So you don't know. He is, obviously, as you said, it's Fields' number one target, but when he's just been bang average, it's such a tough decision to make with those tight ends because they're just so hard to pick. Well, probably the hardest position to start, I think, or if you've got a few of them.
Yeah, true. Dan, I think, comes away from this quite relieved because looking at his, there's a few things like Purdy over Tua. Obviously, Tua got the less points, but he still managed to get a win. And just, there's certain things that he's kind of thinking, should I put him in? And I've kind of been speaking to him a few times and he's always thinking, oh, well, every time I put one person in, the other player's going off or whatever that. But eventually, his running backs scored him some good points, so he's definitely come away with a nice win there.
Yep.
Yeah. Curtis Samuel sitting on the bench as well. Just looking at his... Curtis Samuel has got double-figure fantasy points in each of the last 4 weeks, but actually got 26 points this week. 20 targets already in 4 weeks. Not bad for the wide receiver 3 on the team.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely going to be wide receiver 2 if you're taking away a certain someone that has probably been the best trade that the Steelers have done in a long, long time.
Samuel's on the Commanders.
Oh, yes. No, I'm getting well confused.
They mentioned the Panthers as someone who could be going in for Chase Claypool. I was like, no,
don't do it.
That, please. Don't do that.
I heard something about the Chargers particularly looking at Claypool as well, funny enough.
See,
there's so many other players out
there. There's a reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers let him go. Like, he had such a good, solid season at the Steelers, and yet we still let him go. He had so much talent, and yet we still let him go. And when we have talented wide receivers, we usually keep them, and we usually
get them.
And the fact that we got rid of him speaks volumes, and obviously it's just shown at the Bears for why they gave him a healthy scratch this week.
Yeah.
Super. Right. Well, there you go. Well done, Dan. Granted, it was against Mark, so, you know, it's probably another bye week for you. I'm totally going to lose to Mark when I play him.
Yeah, he's going to come back. He's going to get at least 2 wins from the 3 of us.
It's going to be a bloody piss take. Right. Up next, we have another barnstormer of a game. The battle between you two. Rex City Thunder went up against Thornley Hornets, where this one also finished before Monday. With both teams failing to get to 300, it was a tough battle, eventually finishing 292 to 258 in favour of Storm. That takes Stormo to first place on 3-1, and Rob drops to 1-3 and into 8th.
I must admit, after the Thursday night game, I thought I might have had you here, Stormo, because you put Jonesy in again, another player who has been very limited, was coming in on a snap count. I was like, oh, he switched him out. That's interesting. And then came away with a score, and I was like, oh, that has left the door open. Ezekiel Elliott's getting starter reps against the Dallas Cowboys. That's exciting. You know, Chuba Hubbard could be getting some of this backfield as well. I've got 5 incredible wide receivers who have been on fire these last few weeks because my running backs haven't done it. I've got Cleveland Browns who've only conceded like 3 points in however many games. I've got an amazing kicker and every single player let down.
you had the same sort of a game as my team did this week, Rob.
Yeah.
Where they have all the potential and you think, right, yeah, well, if they're just ticking over nicely, I'm getting well over 300.
And yeah, I was expecting it over 300 here.
And then they just don't even perform, and you're thinking, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I had a chat with Pitsy about, obviously, Jones, and I was like, God, I mean, my choice is Jones or Gibson, and Gibson's averaging about 8 points. So I was like, can I see him getting any more? Probably not. I was like, Jones, I know he's on the snap count. He's only got to catch two balls and get, like, two carries, and he'll pretty much be on 8 points. You know, there or thereabouts. I thought he'd get slightly more. I wasn't expecting 8. I was probably expecting about 15. But I was like, 15 probably be more than Gibson got. And, you know, made that mistake. And Gibson outscored him by 1.5 points. So,
yeah, Gibson's no. My reasoning behind Gibson was absolutely spot on, though, because Robinson is the man in that backfield. And Jones should have done slightly better, but the Detroit D is just so much better than anyone really gives them credit for.
I am glad that you didn't accept my trade offer for Antonio Gibson, because now look at him. Yeah. I was saying, like, what was it? I offered you a 2023 first for him last year or something like that, and then
first
24 first second, and now it's going to be a 2025 third.
Yeah, I think it's when you were shopping that first. Thacker accepted the trade. I was like, I need him. Obviously, I don't need him that much because he's not doing great. But I've spoken to you before. Like, we're struggling on the running back department when I had the injuries.
Yeah.
And luckily, Swift seems to be getting the load, or has done the past 2 weeks. Herbert got most of the carries this week, which helped out loads.
You obviously were listening to the Fast Action Friday podcast, Stormer.
Obviously, yeah.
You obviously didn't, because you don't know what we're talking about.
No, I didn't. I remember I told you I was going out for dinner when you sent me the link. I was like, sorry, dude.
And clearly Dan was like, as well, because he put in Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. My flex of the week was Herbert. And I was deciding. Yeah.
No,
and it was going to be Elijah Moore. Yeah. You got a minus 20-yard rush.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Johnson was going to take over, wasn't it? But now I don't know which way they're swinging with Herbert and Johnson, but Herbert got way more of the carries this week. I was a bit worried about Devontae with the rookie QB, but he got a fair few.
And he went injured as well, so.
Yeah, he went down as well, so I got scared too. And then just a props to the kickers, because I think we've got the two best rookie kickers in the league, Rob, me and you, Moody and Aubrey. So they're both doing really well.
Do you want to hear a fun trade stat, guys?
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, you go on, stat man.
So in my boredom recently, I've charted every single trade in the Ballers League.
I was wondering how you had those stats so quickly earlier.
Yeah. I had them all together. So there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trades involving a pick for a running back across the last 3 years. Every single one, bar one of them, has involved Dan or me. So there's 5 of those trades involved Dan or me. One of the last one involved both me and Dan. The only other one, do you know which one it was?
Was it not Kamara, me and Susie?
No.
Oh, no, for running backs?
For running backs. A running back for a pick. That's it.
I gave just one running back, one pick.
One running back, one pick.
Oh.
Shall I read him out? Shall I read out what we've got? And you can try and work it out. So 2020, there was six trades in 2020. Lee traded Wayne Gorman. Oh, no, Lee traded a 2021 third-round pick for Wayne Gorman to Dan. 2021, Dan traded a 2022 second-round pick for Ramondre Stevenson. 2022, again, I traded a 2022 third-round pick, and Simon got J.D. McKissick. Again, a bit further on in 2022, Dan got a 2023 third round pick and Simon got Jeff Wilson. the most recent one you know about, a 2024 second round pick for Chuba Hubbard. And of course, Pitts's 2023 third round pick went to.
Okay.
For what? What?
Mostert.
Ah, oh, Mostert.
Griffey Mostert.
Does the is it just because it's one pick rather than two picks for Kamara?
Yeah, it was yeah. two. Alvin Kamara, 2024 first round and a 2023 third round.
Third round, yeah. Oh, that Mostert deal. Hey ho.
Yeah, it keeps coming back.
Well, it will, but it won't, because soon Chane will take over that backfield and Mostert will flitter into the distance.
So, I mean, there's been some interesting trades. I've been looking through, like going back to 2020, we had Marlon Mack for Mike Kosicki. That was a big one.
Between Man, people getting Kosicki. Into the flow of it, wasn't yeah. it?
I traded Kosicki yeah. in another league for a first last year.
Wow. Still that Stormo, you got James Conner and trade away Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
To Simon.
And then I gave him to back up someone else. I gave him also away dirt cheap.
And then Quintus Cephas moved like several times in a short space of time in 2021.
Yes, I remember those. It started with Dan, didn't it?
Yeah, Dan traded it to like there was a Julio swap, Julio and Cephas swap teams for like a first and a third, and then Cephas and a third got traded for Odell Beckham. That was pretty wild.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I think the player that's been traded the most. Do you think you might know who it is? It always seems to be fantasy relevant, especially in our league.
Who's been traded the most? I don't actually know.
Derrick Henry. As soon as you say it, it'd be like, oh yeah, okay.
Is it a running back?
It's a running back. Yeah.
It's not Zeke.
It's not Zeke. No, I think he's only been traded twice.
Well, someone's been traded more than that. Is it a Chiefs running back?
It's not a Chiefs running back.
Give us which team is he on?
He's in the same division as the Steelers.
This is good radio, is this?
That time down. That was a long gap.
Yeah, I know that'll be trimmed. Yeah. Chubb?
I can't think who it is, man.
Not Chubb.
Chubb would have been.
I'll give you 5 more seconds. Just fire names at me. Come on, fire names. Go.
It's a Ravens running back.
It is.
Who was that? My ear fell out.
It was a Ravens running back.
I don't even know who the Ravens running back is at the minute.
Oh my god.
Oh god, I can't even think. Who is it?
Just put us out of our misery.
It's Gus the Bus, man. Come on.
Oh, Gus Edwards, yes.
Man, for the last minute, I could think of Melvin Gordon. I was like, God, who was the running for the Ravens? Oh, God, sorry, guys. Yeah. Sorry, Norwegian. Sorry about that.
I think he's been traded three times, which is, from what I can see, the most that anyone's been traded.
Gus the Bus. Obviously, now I'm going to edit it all and put that in and I'll make it sound like nice. I know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Yeah. Well done, team. sweet. Right. Next up, who's up?
Good question.
Okay, next. We've got a game that was still waiting for the Monday game to finish. It was the Generals Tankers belonging to Thacker going up against the Hammerban Feather Ones. It was a struggle getting points early on until Simon used Monday night to pull away. The final score was 395 to 262, taking Simon to 3-1 and into second, which is phenomenal considering that final score that he got, whilst Thacker drops to 1-3 in seventh place. Was it really down that final game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, it was the defense, wasn't it?
The defense that he had in, let me just pull it up.
Wow.
It was nuts. Yes, it was the Seahawks, 82 points.
As I said before, it was like it's the second week out of four that the defense is starting the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
I can't remember who Thacker had in because it was quite close. It was, I'm sure it was neck and neck kind of going into it. And I think Thacker must have had someone in to play. Let me run through it. Oh, Tyler Lockett. So he had Lockett to play.
Bloody Lockett.
And then I thought, well, Lockett will probably get a few more points than the Seahawks. They'll get a standard amount of points. But no, 82 points. Absolutely destroyed him. Although, surely that doesn't make any sense. Because why would I put... Yeah, because that would have meant that he would have been still over 300 points to Thacker's 200 and odd. Did I make it sound like it was really close? I can't remember what.
Well, he had Matt Breida as well. Matt Breida got 33 points.
Breida.
So that's 115 points in one game. I don't think there was anywhere else he had to play. But you look at those, yeah, and you're like, Matt Breida's not going to do anything. You know, the Seahawks defense, that it's going to be a close game. It's going to be fairly low scoring. And then, you know, Tyler Lockett's going to do all right. Might be in with a good chance of holding this, and then boom, just there's 120 yeah. points just dropped on you,
just like that. Yeah,
just like that. I think we need a review on the defense scoring.
Well, so their point,
we just need an overhaul of the whole league.
There was
back to original scoring.
So they got 11 sacks, so 3 points for a sack, so that's 33 points just for sacks.
That's mad.
They maybe need got to do a bonus... like, rules round.
Rules round.
Do a rules round. Put it to the vote. Everyone puts in a crazy rules, crazy rule. Mine's going to be put the bench to two players. That's what mine's going to be.
Fail.
that would be so odd.
No, the waiver wire would be packed. The waiver wire would be so packed. You could put the median in, Stormo. You could do the median.
Nice. Yeah, put the median in. I like that.
Yeah. Put the yeah.
That would definitely be what my rule would be.
Median scoring. Very. No. So, yeah, he absolutely just destroyed. 395. Is that the highest this year?
Yeah, I think so. It's close. Ooh. Up there. Week one. Who was who had the Cowboys week one? Oh, well, Mark, you didn't play him. Differently.
That was Mark.
Yeah, differently.
378. I'm sure week two, I got absolutely drubbed. No, it wasn't week two. 375
was Susie. Yeah, I think that was the highest of what we had. 369 from me last week.
Yeah, it was quite a tame week one.
Oh, 390 from
390. Yeah, there it is. Ooh,
big week out.
It's ridiculous. It's going to be getting to the point where it's like if you get over 400, you're more or less guaranteed to win.
Yeah. We've talked about the 300 being the marker point. Things have changed.
Yeah, dude, didn't I lose with like 390 last year? Where Pitsy, you ended up scoring 408 or something.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Some mad game last year.
But then we say that. But look at all the other scores. Like we've got a 285, 252, 214, 258, 292, 262, 232. Like. We're still not having the whole squad kind of getting over to the 300 mark, are we?
Yeah, it's, I thought it was quite a low scoring week, except for that.
Yeah, apart from we only got three teams over 300 points.
Yeah, boy, it
wasn't even a bye week either.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Cool. Let's finish us off here, team.
Hmm.
So final matchup was the most lopsided game of the week from a very unlikely candidate. The newly shaved Ballers went up against the Gotham City Rogues and finally smashed the 300 points mark with the highest score of the season so far. You didn't quite need it though, as Ollie had the lowest score of the game week, and the final score was 361 to 214. Stockstead's up to 6th place on 2-2, and Ollie is 9th on 1-3.
Thank you, Robert.
Sorry. Any false assumptions there?
That's it. funny. I actually had this written up on Monday night before the Monday night games.
You had it written on Saturday morning. That's what you had it written Saturday morning. Come on.
And actually had the highest score of the game week, thinking that 3-6-1 will be the highest score before Simon then goes and pulls away with that 3-9-5, which, yeah, nuts, absolutely nuts. But yeah, huge score for Stocks, especially after last week he was saying he couldn't even find a 300-pointer in him. And he pulled a 3-6-1 out of the bag.
Yeah, I wish he hadn't started Laporta, because I think that was the reason that Laporta scored poorly this week. He needs to put players back on his bench.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Although, Achan did all right, 39 points. It's not, obviously, it's not what he got in week three, but Achan.
It's Achan, isn't it? That's how he's said it is now.
I don't think the Dolphins getting absolutely licked helped. Because they were just, it was actually weird to watch that game, to be fair, after what they did the week before. Like, Hill didn't score a lot, really, and it was just, they just looked subdued, didn't they? And the Bills went to town, so it was hard to watch. Oh, obviously, for flip and flop.
They were trading punches at the beginning, like it was touchdown, touchdown, kind of matching each other. And then the Bills D just then went, hang on a minute, we don't need this anymore.
Hang on a minute.
Switched it all up a bit. But yeah, still 39 points for Achan to make sure that he got some points. But yeah, Stocks got some huge.
He's not listening to this podcast anymore. Say his name properly. It's another person from the demographic on.
Yeah, one of it.
It's just going to be us listening at this rate.
Yeah.
So huge scores for Stocks. Mm. About time that some of his players that he expects to actually score points actually got some points. So he'll be very happy about that. It's now whether he can put a couple of games together that will actually stay over 300 points. That's the next question.
If you look at their quarterback scores, Burrow got 19, Geno got 22. That's like normal scoring quarterback scores. I'm not sure what's going on at the Bengals, but Burrow is struggling. The Bengals are struggling.
Well, this is Carr. He can't move, can he?
He's injured.
Yeah.
They just need to bench him for a few games, get him right, and get him back. Oh, otherwise, they're going to end up.
Those knees, mate. Those knees. He's been getting hammered.
Groaning at the thought of Jake Browning starting for the Bengals. It's just, I mean, whoever's playing Jake Browning, put that defense in, because that's like 3 or 4 interceptions. He can't improvise. He follows the play to the letter. Even if it means throwing it into double coverage or triple coverage, he's doing it. Like, he is not a good quarterback.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it that Sam Howell would have got almost 50 points compared to Geno Smith with 22?
Yeah, but then Howell last week, as I say, he got me minus points in my one league. So what did he see? He got minus five points last week to then score 50 the next week. It's mad.
Yeah.
And to get minus 5 points in this league is crazy.
Well, Jameis Winston on Ollie's bench got -4.
Yeah.
He got one pass intercepted, and that's all he did all game.
Yeah, one throw intercepted.
Yeah. That was
shocking, isn't it? That's shocking.
So bad.
So at least bad.
Just return to his former team. Here you go, lads. One to remember. Yeah.
Stocks had a good call with his defenses. Fairly similar. I think there was, 2 points in it. So well done, Stocks.
52 for Ravens, 54 for Minnesota. So, yeah. Great call. Not that that would have changed the result at all. It would have still been an absolute spanking, but
I do like the fact that he's chosen the defense that was playing the number one overall pick rather than the team who didn't have a quarterback pretty much and was playing Dorian Thompson, who was a preseason darling. But Bryce Young surely would have been a better choice. But Yeah, well, it shows how bad the Panthers are, doesn't it?
I don't know, because at the start of the season, I thought, oh, no, this is looking quite promising for the card, for the Panthers.
No. See, I got laughed at when I said it's 5-12 will be a good result for us. And, like, you're not a true Panthers fan if you're thinking we're going to be 5-12. It's going to be positive figures. I'm like, well, it's a rebuilding year. Just watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. So I took the high road. I said, you have your opinion, I have mine. And we left it at that. And at the end of the season, we're like, I told you.
Yep. Listen, I am Stephman Rob.
Yep. I know.
Right then, Stormo. Give us your champions of the week then.
Time after time, I've done my sentence but committed no crime. I totally missed the first lyrics of the song there. I just like jumped in the middle there. Sorry, guys.
I liked it. I like the fact that you just picked out a little section, threw it together.
Yeah, no problem. That's why I'm here. So, highest scoring quarterbacks of the week. Allen, 74 points. Susie. Dobbs, 67 points. And Hurts, 63 points. So, yeah, that was a... Surprisingly, Dobbs has been
well.
Started slow, but I don't think Carly's going back in this team if you don't, you know, I don't know what's going on. And they're not bringing him back off the list yet. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see which way they go forward. I think how much they pay him, they've got to play him, but who knows? Who knows what goes on in football anymore?
Here, Dobbs has got the last few games. Let me just bring those up.
Yeah, you carry on with the darker. Yeah.
It's week two, Giants, 53 points. Dallas, 41 points. San Francisco, 67 points.
Yeah, mate, it's good. Good week. And against the Niners defense as well, that's a great score.
A Dallas defense as well. Like, we saw what Dallas did in week one.
Yeah.
He's got some good rushing ability. Like, he had 12 rushing attempts this week to get him those 67 points.
He's fast, bro. He's fast.
Mm.
Yeah, so,
he's a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, mate, he is. Yeah, you're right. Well, not anymore.
No, not anymore. Sorry. As you were, carry on with your champions.
Highest scoring running back, 76 points for CMC, for Simon. Monty, 68 points. What a score he had on that Thursday night for Dan.
Yeah.
Jacobs, 54 points for Stocks. We always knew he was playing the Chargers, so he was going to score. And most of those, I think, came in as a catching back. High scoring wide receiver, 53 points for AJ Brown for Stocks. Nico Collins, what a player he's turning out to be for you, Roberto, 48 points.
Mm,
and then, as we said, Puka, Nukau, 45 points for Suze. High scoring tight end, Cole Kmet, 41 points. Andrews, 34 points. And Ferguson, 26 points for Roberto. Here's a good one. Kicker, 20 points for Bass. 20 points for Bass. Was he predicted the highest kicker last week? Yes, he was. Well done, predictions. And Elliot got 20 points for Stocks as well. and then a high scoring defense, the Seahawks, 83. Chargers with 55. Free agents and the Vikings with 54. Who do you think was the highest scoring non-starting quarterback this week?
Dobbs.
Dobbs, funny enough. Yes, he was the highest scoring non-starter because he's a free agent. So, yeah, it's out there, team.
Using my head. Stats. Pick up my stats now. Get him out there straight away.
Okay. On a team, highest scoring quarterback on a team currently.
Highest scoring, 54. What, on a bench? On a bench.
Yeah, on a bench, yeah.
Oh, it better not be Lawrence.
I don't think it's Lawrence. It's not Lawrence, actually. I know, I've got it written down here in front of me.
We know it's not Jameis Winston because he got an interception.
Yeah. Is it quarterback we slag off regularly on this show?
Well, Russell Wilson.
That's it. 54 points for Russell Wilson.
Give over.
Nice, he's getting.
How did he manage to get that many points? I mean, I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
I told you, like, he can sustain two top 16 wide receivers. We don't know who those wide receivers are yet.
highest scoring running back on the bench was McLaughlin for Mark, who's obviously stepped in for Williams. Highest scoring wide receiver, Wilson from the Cardinals, who Stocks owns, 34 points. And we talked about Cole Kmet, 41 points on Mark's bench. Maher on Sar's bench, 18 points. And Stocks, we talked about his defense choice, 52 points for the Ravens.
Nice. Some nice. crazy scores.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Faux shizzles.
And this league is tight. How many have we got? We've got 4 people at the bottom on 1 and 3. 2 in the middle on 2 and 2. And then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Obviously, I could have done the maths, so that would have worked out. 4 on 3 and 1 at the top.
There's 2 in the middle, 4 at the bottom.
How many goes left? Take it.
Fucking gazebo. What are you, a bungalow?
Bungalow. Gazebo. Gazebo, there's nothing anywhere. Fucking sides up.
Sorry, mate.
Close league.
Yeah, it's going to be super tight. So who's in sixth spot at the minute? Sixth spot is Stocks. So he's the last one in the.
He's got himself into the playoffs at the moment. Yeah,
and below him, Stacker with a change of score. So yeah, this you're right. It's going to be tight. How many games are we playing regular season again? 14.
14.
Okay.
15, 16. Yeah, 14 regular season games.
Because I'm 0-4 in Robin Wood League. I don't know what's going on in that league. And I'm just trying to think that I have to win the next 10 games. Okay, got it.
At least you didn't lose to someone who drafted 4 kickers in that league, in that draft.
did you give Dizzle his first win?
Did you lose to Dizzle?
I got absolutely happy. If you look at that score, he got nearly 300 points on me. I don't know how it happened.
Oh, God. All I get is Connor yapping at me, oh, you shit, you know, you're a champion and you're 0-4. And he just literally texts me every 5 minutes, telling me how crap I am.
He's not been here. He's not seen the Ballers League.
178 points, Rob. How did you only get 178 points?
Oh, so
bad week, mate.
It was one of those weeks. I woke up and Owusu had destroyed me in an IDP league as well. Like I was like 20 points ahead and he got 24 points by himself.
Nice.
Mike Evans, Chris Olave, Young Wei Koo got 2 points as well. But he had Allen and McCaffrey who got 160 points. By themselves, which was, you know, 18 points less than my entire team.
And then your full team. I could have benched everybody else apart from just another player. That'll be fine. 3 players beat your team that's not good.
Yeah.
It's one of those weeks though, Rob. You know that your team on the day can score points. So
it's decent. It's a decent team. Get myself
At least you're not 0-4 in that league, eh?
No, that's true.
To be fair, when I won my first championship, wasn't I the first champion to go out not even making the playoffs the next season?
Yes, you did that.
Uh-huh. But I am also a 3-time champion in that league, so you know, it don't really matter I do. Don't really matter. So you lot need to pick up your game, I can just relax.
I don't need to pick up a game. I'm a 2-time champion in that league.
I'm pretty much Tom Brady of the Robin Wood League.
I'm a 4-time playoff. Reacher. I think I'm not even made a final in that league yet. I think I've made like semi-final twice and then that's it.
Have you made the playoffs every year or did you miss it? Oh, you missed it last
I missed year, it because it? I drew the last game of the season.
Oh, yeah, that was a really weird game.
The one draw cost me the playoffs.
Nice.
Anyway, we're digressing, and I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Well, good. It's been a pleasure as always, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for having me, folks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
And until next time.
Until next time.
Until next time. Bollocks to the wall. Puss.